curated to encourage leaders at all levels to be their best selves and to bring a fresh, curious perspective to today's issues in business and culture. Our goal is to equip listeners with the resources to always move forward.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to another episode of the Always Forward Leadership Podcast. I'm Carla Soans, and I am here with Ron Kitchens. And my question for you, Ron, today is, how are you?
I am gratefully awesome.
Gratefully awesome. I love that introduction because today, as you must know, I'm planning on talking to you about gratefulness and that habit and exercise that we do as leaders and about the importance of that not just being something that we do because somebody told us to do, but because it's actually authentic and from the heart. So I would love to hear when you started to have kind of a gratefulness practice and how you go about that and how you're infusing that into the team culture here at Southwest Michigan First.
No, I think gratitude is really important. One of my favorite, I love lyricists. I like songwriters and singer-songwriters because I like people who can tell stories and change my mind and my life with a sentence or two, and sometimes just half a sentence. And one of the really great ones is a guy named Ray Wiley Hubbard. And the Texans listening will know him because he's Texas famous. But Ray Wiley Hubbard has a line that says, "The days I keep my gratitude higher than my expectations, I have really good days."
Yeah. Wow.
I mean, and you just think about that. It's so simple. If you're just more grateful for what you have than what you expected, you have really good days. And that's the world I want to live in. That's the life I choose. And there's so much in my life I can't curate or craft that gratitude is one of those that I have 100% ownership of. And I'm not one of those people that gets hit by a car and laying on the street bleeding and is grateful because I might have, you know, got struck by lightning if I hadn't got hit by the car. I'm somebody who just says, I want to be appreciative for those things seen and unseen that are in my life that are affecting me. And so that's, you know, I try to live that way. And I also, you know, try to make sure as an organization, we're not Pollyannas. You know, I'm a pretty positive guy. But I love data, and data tells the truth. And if the data doesn't say things are great, you're going to acknowledge it. But I'm grateful we have the resources to change that. But then we also have the no, and I'll clean it up. You know, the book is a #, #whole. But, you know, we have the no jerks rule. And you know, jerks are almost always people that don't have gratitude. So if you can't foster and live a life of gratitude, you can't work with us. You just, there's no place for you. I'm sorry. Go to work. I really want us to give you a letter of reference to go to work for our competitors, because you will do great things for us there.
You are funny, Ron. So I want to ask you a question, and I know it's probably not something that you thought I was going to ask, but I'm going to ask it anyways. So now you have this kind of, you've embodied that quote that you gave. And I think that's really powerful. And I think those of us that work with you can see that in the way that we do some of the things that we do here for, you know, Team First, as we affectionately call ourselves. But when did that start to happen for you? Like, was it something that just you've always practiced, or when you were a little bit more immature in your leadership, did you do these things, or did something happen that you all of a sudden were like, you know what, I need to do, you know, kind of reframe my leadership to really do this better, or to really have this more central in not only my life, but also in my leadership at work?
I think, and I don't remember the age I was, but, you know, growing up and feeling inferior, feeling like I didn't have what most people had, and we didn't, but reminding myself how much opportunity there was to get those things. And I think part of it is the form of dyslexia that I have. I see patterns. So lots of people suffer dyslexia. The lines move and letters jumble. Mine happens to be I see all words as pictures, but I see patterns of behaviors and actions that are just crystal clear to me. And so I could see that I had an open field, an open course, an open route to achieve what I wanted to. And so no matter what I didn't have, I knew how to get there and get it. And I was grateful for the ability to do that. And for me, it's always been that way. I have never been a coveter. I don't get up every day and I'm not mad at you because you have something I don't have. First thing I go, one, do I really want it? And a lot of the trappings of life, I go, I really don't want that. You know, I just finished Matthew McConaughey's new book, which is phenomenal. Listen to it on audio. Reading, it's great. I have both versions. Listen, him doing it on audio, reads it himself, is amazing. But he has a whole chapter kind of dedicated to, you know, don't just assume the stuff you have is the stuff you really wanted. And so I've really focused on that the last 15 years or so, making sure what I have, I want. Because what I found was I was angry about the burden of having things that I didn't want, responsibilities or roles or sitting on this board or, you know, having to pay for the maintenance of this thing. And I'm just going to live a grateful life and have what I want and not worry about anything else. And it's the system that works for me.
That's awesome. And I think that there are a lot of leaders out there that are in a place, and I think this year has been really tough for people. And my hope is that through the struggles, I mean, to say it, it's not even, doesn't even put into context what this year was. Like, struggle does not even fit. But for the purposes of today, the struggle of this year, I think leaders, my hope would be that leaders would just take a minute and really try to find opportunities to be grateful and to really, as you've done, kind of put that into practice if they're not already. And I think, you know, not only does that help the individual leader, and it's just a good, healthy practice, I think, for humans, but it also has been shown to really impact productivity. And so it's not just about, you know, you feeling good. It's about the business actually being more profitable and producing more. So can you talk a little bit about, you have these practices for your own self, but how have you been able to translate that into the business? And how do you see, like, is there an example where you saw gratitude really impact somebody and then that kind of reflected in their work?
Yeah, I think when we talk about that, there's a commercial that hadn't aired in a few years, but it was the California Dairy Council. And they were selling by California milk and cheese because we have happy cows. Remember the commercial? Yeah. And so because they're in California, it's sunshine and surf and wine country, and they have happy cows. But I think that resonates in all businesses. Businesses that have happy people, and I'm going to come back against the word happy, but have grateful people and the joy that brings there. Because I'm one of those people who struggle with happiness. To me, happiness is I can't really define it. And I frankly, a lot of people who, you know, want to talk about happy or gratitude, you know, confuse it with contentment. And I've never been contented in my life. I'm a change junkie. I think everything can be better. Even if it's awesome today, tomorrow's a new day, and you have to change it to be more awesome. There are even, you know, I got to go to the Louvre a few years ago, and there were several paintings I wanted to see because, yes, they have more paintings in there than Mona Lisa. And one of the paintings I want to see was out being cleaned. And I talked to the person who was standing there explaining that the one that was up on the wall was actually a replica and talked about how much more improved the painting would be because time had tarnished it. time had diminished the colors and had coated it with pollutants. So, you know, even if it's a masterpiece, it still has to change to be awesome. So, you know, I think we can't confuse all of these terms, but gratitude says, I am abundantly pleased for where I'm at today, and I'm grateful for today and grateful for the opportunity that tomorrow brings. And that, to me, is what it's really all about. And so putting yourself in a situation to build a team around gratitude is, you know, simply that, you know, we did when COVID first hit, you're like everybody, I guess, or a lot of people. We packed up our stuff. We cleaned out the refrigerators at the office. Said, all right, we'll see everybody in 2 weeks.
Wow.
That was awesome. Yeah, that was a good idea. I'm glad we cleaned out the refrigerator because some of that milk would have been okay in 2 weeks. Maybe not so much. You know,
the later. Cheese sticks might have made it. But.
Yeah. But what we did is, I don't know, 6 weeks or so into it, said, you know what? This is going to be with this a while. I want everybody to acknowledge we're so grateful for where we're at. Everybody has a job. You will have a job. Here's what we've done to make sure of that. But let's talk about the things that we should change. And let's acknowledge that things have to change. And it was an exercise of celebrating where we were and talking about, this is awesome, but I don't think we're going to be able to do that awesome. And so let's change it. So, you know, we've done that and found wild success in some of the ideas that team members came up with. Now, some of them were just dumb. But it was okay. We needed the dumb ideas to leverage us to the important ideas. And not every road's straight in a speedway. Some of them got turns in there. And there are times you put speed bumps on the road to remind you to do the smart thing. And dumb ideas sometimes are just speed bumps that remind you to do smart things. But we of our organization has been able to celebrate time after time after time in the last 4 or 5 months. Good ideas that came out of that celebrating and that gratitude of what COVID brought us. And in some cases, it has, like all organizations, it is accelerated change that will be with us forever. That was change that we never could have afforded to get to. And I'm so grateful for that. I, you know, like everybody, I'm a bit zoomed out, but I have talked with more people and built more amazing friendships with folks that I just wouldn't have been able to do before.
Yeah, I think you're right. And I know here at Southwest Michigan First, we have, and we've talked on this podcast before about our practice that every Friday we do a written, we call them catellations, but they're essentially a thank you or a congratulations kind of combined, but they're our gratitude practice. And that's a way to kind of honor each other. And we not only write them, but we also publicly read them to the individuals in front of the team so that everyone can hear that. But I know you also do a lot of thank you notes.
Let me tell you, I want to say something though that's really important on that, and that's the reading. So writing a note is an awesome, amazing thing, and I write lots of notes. But reading them out loud, because there will be times that I will hear team members tell somebody else, hey, here's a catellation. I saw this. You were doing it. It's amazing. And I'll think to myself, I wonder what they're doing. It's so amazing that I didn't know about. You know, and we're, you know, at any given time, we're between 25 and 30 people. And I can't keep up with how amazing people are. So that validation orally, because if I just gave you a note, you and I would know it. If I tell the whole team, everyone knows those four magic words of I believe in you. And so saying it out loud is a critical component of our gratitude strategy. Writing the note, you know, you can't read them all out loud, but everything, you know, in your life, but where you can, you need to do that. So it's so much more impactful.
It is extremely impactful. And I know outside of just that internal practice that we have, you also have some other gratitude practices. And I wanted to ask you, if you're willing to share, what was one of the thank you notes that you wrote this year to another person to express gratitude that really sticks out to you?
All right, I'm going to answer that if you will. And that's a hard one for me. You know, part of my practice is I used to just do it once a year and now do it twice a year. Christmas break, we as an organization really end up the last 2 weeks of the year. Most of the team is off the whole time. And at 4th of July, we always take an extended holiday. And I dedicate a day or two of each of those to just writing thank you notes to over the 6 months. And I end up writing thank you notes to somebody who might have taught me a lesson 20 years ago. And, you know, and there's really no excuse because with social media today, you can find just about anybody. And so I'll think, here's something, an important decision I made. Or, you know, and our calendars are all full of those decisions if we just look at it and go, now, how did I know how to make that? Where did I learn that from? You know, one of the notes I wrote at 4th of July was to a Hollywood, or he lives in New York, but he's a television producer who is a friend of a friend. So I had access to him. And he has a podcast. And so in listening to his podcast, he had a guest on there that he asked a question that was incredibly profound to me. And so I just wrote him a note and said, hey, I had to make a tough decision. Here's the decision I made. And here's where I knew what I reflected on to make that decision. And I want to thank you for making that available. And I got, we've now probably talked on email 25 times. Somebody I've never met. We're not in the same social group. We're not, his politics are just about as far away from my politics. We don't have anything in common except our kind of that now admiration for each other. So I do that, and I've done that for at least 20 years now. But, you know, I guess I go back to, you know, the question you ask. This year's the hard one because it's been, I guess, the note that I enjoyed writing. I sent our governor a note, and I have a somewhat relationship with the governor. And we don't agree on a lot of things on the handling of COVID. But I 100% believe that she authentically believes the decision she's making. And I wanted to thank her for that. I want to thank her. You know, she's had death threats on herself and her family. She's, you know, had her husband humiliated for making a comment that every husband in America would make about not being able to get his boat out of storage. And hey, does it help that my wife's the governor? Every guy I know would say that if their wife was a governor. And it's hard. And I just want to thank her for the sacrifice she's making for us. Because nobody signed up for COVID leadership. Nobody did. So I think to me, that was the one that I struggled with the most to make sure the words were right. And frankly, you really shouldn't do that. You should just write thank you and pour your heart out and go on. You know, and for me, our mutual friend, Joel Manby, who was the president of Hershen Family Properties and then SeaWorld, Joel wrote a book and talked about the seven uses of the word love that the Greeks came out with. And there's the community love is called agape. And, you know, I like to live in that kind of world that I want to live in a loving community and I want to extend a loving community. So, you know, I think of every note as a love note. Every note is I'm telling you why you are loved and valued in the community that we cohabitate together.
So, Ron, what's the best thank you note that you've received? So we know you wrote one to the governor and you talked a little bit about your producer friend that you made it through the years too. But what about the thank you note that when you received it, you were like, wow, like that was an amazing note to receive or unexpected or.
So I have, it sounds so preposterous to say, but I have boxes full of thank you notes. because I live on a team that writes thank you notes. And so, but I have one that I have laminated that's in my office desk at home that I look at when I'm having a bad day. And it's a note from a lady who I had helped locate a call center to a community. And in our line of work, you get a lot of people who will call you and go, hey, I'd really like to work there. Will you get me in? And you just can't do that for everybody. And it's not fair for me to leverage my organization's reputation to do personal favors. But in this case, this lady was special, and her family had volunteered a lot in the community, and her husband was an incredible volunteer, and they owned a small business. And I thought, I really do want to help. So I called the HR manager and said, listen, I don't know the person's work ethic. I don't know their skills, but I know she's pretty special. So would you interview her for me? So she got the job, and I didn't pay a lot of attention. And maybe it's 6 or 9 months later, maybe it's a year later. She comes in my office and she's very skinny. And her hair, you can tell she had head cancer. It's growing back, but it looks like cancer survivors look. And she has a note in her hand and an envelope with my name on it. And I don't think she expected to see me. I think she thought she'd drop it off. And she sees me and hands me the notes and starts crying. And says, you don't know this, but the job you helped me get is the first time I ever had health insurance in my entire life. And after being there for 3 months, I had diagnosed with a very rare breast cancer. And I'm cancer-free today. And without that job, without the insurance, I would have died. My family would have lost everything. That's how I know the days that my gratitude are higher than my expectations. I have really good days.
So, Ron, when we started this podcast, every time we do Catalations, even on Friday, I tear up because for some reason, gratitude practices just really get to me. Like every thank you note, every time somebody even says, like, I really appreciate you, Ron, for doing X, Y, and Z, I tear up. I'm just like that emotional one. And when we started this podcast, I was like, I will not cry.
Sorry.
You just told that story. And now how can I sit here and not have tears in my eyes? That is an amazing, incredible, and powerful story. And I think it gives it just cements what we were talking about today, that those notes and those thank yous really do matter to people. And those moments that we share and we do kind of, you know, go outside of ourselves for other people, those also matter. And as leaders, it's really important for us to not only live an example of that, but also to just help our team to embody that so that everyone has an opportunity to feel valued and that their work matters and that they matter and that it's appreciated. And I think especially, you know, we're going into a strange holiday season, you know, like I know depending on where you're at in the
world.
Oh,
you don't have to be grateful. COVID sucks.
Yeah. You know? I mean, it does. It really does. And it's Thanksgiving week. And I know there's a lot of families who aren't able to give thanks in the same way that they normally did or normally would because of, you know, additional restrictions depending on where you live or different family circumstances or even their own health. And so what is your kind of closing message to leaders as they enter this holiday week and maybe a word of advice on how they can help their team to really appreciate each other?
So as much as I hate things going on, you know, my daughter has been, you know, out of college and in the workforce for 3 years. She's going to come home at Thanksgiving and she's staying till January because her company has said you can work from anywhere you want. That's a gift. We never, ever thought as a family we would ever get that after her senior year in college. We hoped we would never get it. Because if it was, it meant she probably didn't have a job. So this is an incredible time of bonding, an incredible time. You know, most of the companies I know are so gracious right now with how their people are using their time and embracing families and authenticity of that. Don't feel guilty for being happy in ugly times. And I think I see that a lot of people thinking, oh, it's people are getting sick and I'm grateful for what I have. It is 100% okay to live in gratitude at bad times. Best funerals I've ever been to are where people laughed. Best funerals ever been to, people laugh. And so use this time to laugh. You know, if you're the point leader, if you're the person who gets to make decisions on how people are using their time, I challenge you in the next week or so, create some boundaries and rules. Say that from, you know, this date to this date, from, you know, the last 2 weeks of December, nobody can set meetings on Mondays and Fridays. You know, even if you're on Zoom, give people space to enjoy their families and themselves. So because the tension is tough, we don't know what's around the corner, but what we do know is that we've always survived. We will come out of this. We have amazing men and women charting our future. We have an incredible, you know, country, and to our Canadian leaders, you have an incredible country too. But there's so much great going on. Don't let people steal peas. You know, growing up, my grandfather, who is the kind of male lead in my life, had a saying. He said, you know, when people are negative, they're stealing your peas. My grandfather wouldn't eat green vegetables. My grandfather was a manly guy, ate bacon and eggs for breakfast and lunch every day, and didn't eat green vegetables. I don't know why, but he didn't. So to say peas was, to him, like, that was the worst imaginable thing there was to eat. And he said, well, you wouldn't let people steal food off your plate, even if it were peas. Their negativity is the equivalent of stealing from you. It's stealing your joy. It's stealing your gratitude. It's stealing your peace. You wouldn't let people steal food off your child's plate, certainly. Why would you let them be negative and drag that into your life? So don't let people steal peas off your plate now or in the future, but certainly not now at the holidays. Just love the heck out of each other. And we're going to come out of this, and we're going to come out of this grateful and happy and amazing.
Well, thank you, Ron. With gratitude, we will close today's podcast, but I look forward to another conversation with you coming up here in the next couple of weeks.
See you next week.
Thanks for joining us. We hope today's conversation inspired you to keep moving forward on your leadership journey. To connect with Ron, you can tweet him at Ron Kitchens or send him a message via ronkitchens.com. If you are listening via iTunes, please leave a review. It really helps us connect to you, grow our impact, and keep moving always forward.